the story of Christmas tells us that Jesus comes, and although he comes and he's the greatest gift, that a lot of us have no idea what to do with him. And John does something very interesting. He makes the birth of Jesus the same as the Word of God coming to us, because Jesus, he says, is the Word made flesh. In other words, every time this Word comes to you, it's like Jesus coming to you. In the Spirit, Jesus is speaking to you through this. He wants to be with you and speak to you. And as Luke was saying, everything about how we need to move on in life, everything God wants to do is upside down compared to this world. This world is saying it's going to happen in a totally upside down way. And you and I were tempted to go that way, but it's only through this right here that we learn to go the right way. And so you and I are people that need this, because if you and I don't follow this, our marriages, our family, our careers, our communities, they end up like this. We just put them together wrong, because God's given us the gift of our marriage, and God's given us the gift of our family, and God's given us the gift of friends and churches and communities. But just getting that gift by itself isn't enough. We've got to understand how to put this together. We've got to understand what it is. What is God trying to do? How's he trying to turn the whole world upside down in a way that makes it all right side up? It makes it good again. And so this whole series has been about making room for the Word of God in our lives. Week one, we said to make room for Jesus in your daily life, what you should do is make room for God's Word. That if you really want God in your life, then you've got to say, I got to make room for this. Because all of us want God to bless things, but it's not the same as wanting God himself. And all of us can say a prayer and say, God, please watch over us. But when I really want him, when I really want to make room for him, I make room, I make time, I make a priority of this word right here. And then week two, we had this great word where God was saying, and several of us came back and testified to the truth of this word, that God was making new beginnings in old places, and that we should start to understand. I mean, isn't that the Christmas story? The king of the universe is born, and shepherds who always live in Bethlehem are told, hey, something new is happening in the place you've always been. But then last week, we focused on the call that new beginnings need a new experience in God's word if they're going to last. Because here's where you and I tend to drop the ball. We tend to ask God for new beginnings, new relationships, new jobs, new communities, new places to live, and then we do it the same old way again. New beginnings, same attitudes, same approach, same fear, same pride, same plans. And God's saying, look, I'm giving you new beginnings, but that new beginning needs to start with a new following of my word. Because if my word was what created the world in the beginning, then it's only my word that can restore your life again. It's only my word that's going to last. And so we've been looking at that together. And I really believe I have the word of the Lord for us today, for every man and woman here, for every student. And it's this. If you'll take care of my word in your life, I'll take care of everything else. I want you to hear that. I believe this is God's. I believe the reason why you are in the room today and you came, because God wanted to say this to you and to me. That look, if you'll take care of my word in your life, I'll take care of everything else. And this is not something that God just told me this morning. He's been saying this throughout the history of history. I want you to look at these verses with me. When it gets to the blue font, I want you to say it out loud with me, read along with me. Look what God has always said to his people. He says in Deuteronomy 32, take to heart all the words I have solemnly declared to you this day, so that you may command your children to obey carefully all the words of this law. Here you go. They are not just idle words for you. They are your life. Take care of that word. Your life will be taken care of. Let's look at Joshua chapter 1. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful wherever you go. Take care of my word. I'm going to take care of you. Psalm chapter 1. Happy are those who reject the advice of evil people, who do not follow the example of sinners or join those who have no use for God. Instead, they find joy in obeying the law of the Lord, and they study it day and night. They are like trees that grow beside a stream, that bear fruit at the right time, and whose leaves do not dry up. They succeed in everything they do. Jesus kept saying this. John chapter 6, the words I have spoken to you are spirit and they are life. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. This is what God has always said about this upside down world. That if we'll follow his word, if we'll allow a love for his word to guide us, that he'll direct us in everything else. In the Christmas story, Jesus chooses to come not as a fully grown man, but just as a baby. He comes, the Savior of the world doesn't come in the midst of all the problems. As an adult, he comes as a new life, as something new and just beginning, like the Word of God is to us. Because for us, this is new, and it's something that's just beginning. And we've got to care for it the same way that Joseph and Mary cared for their newborn son. Jesus did that. God the Father did it that way for a reason, because he was saying, look, we can't just receive the word. Oh, now we have it. It's on my shelf. No, we've got to care for it. We've got to nurture it. We have a part to play in this gift we've been given. God chose the Christmas story and the coming of the Messiah as a newborn because he wanted to remind us what his answers look like and what his word in us looks like. And this is Mr. Isaac. Ah, they never say that when I get up. They're like, oh, Pastor Sean. Ooh, here he is. Mr. Isaac. Mr. Isaac is not quite 6 weeks old yet, correct? And yet he has more hair than I do. I don't know how that happened. Isaac, I'm not going to covet. He's making little noises. This was God's answer to a world that needed so much. This. How does God, when Rome's oppressing Israel and poverty is happening and people need an answer now, how does God send his answer this way? Yes. He is just, that's amening in baby language is what's going on.
Oh, you're so great.
Oh, yes. Amen. Let me know if you're working on something. Okay. When God comes into our life, man, he's really there. Life has really begun. And yet we've gotta care for the word like we care for this little guy. And you know, the interesting thing is, instead of God just providing an answer that miraculously changes our circumstances, God sends a new life that requires us to give up some priorities to care for it. Like, we've got to give up some of the things we used to care about so much, and it's actually in surrendering that we find the answers we've always been looking for. And it's just that simple, that how we care for little Isaac, and as the family, as mom and dad just watch over and sisters take care of. That's kind of how the Word of God has to go in our life. And, you know, it's been a little while since my children have been that young, so I thought we should ask the experts about how to care for a child. And, of course, the expert would be those who are most recently newborn. So we went to our nursery in order to ask those kids, how do you take care of a baby? And here is their advice to us.
How do you take care of a baby? And what else do you do?
Pour her juice. Change their diapers.
And what else?
Feed them. feed them day and night. I would birth them, and I would let them play around.
You give it milk, and you let have plenty of sleep.
Feed it, walk, teach it how to walk. Take it around the house or something.
Even feed it.
I feed her bottle.
And what else?
Feed food to her.
And what else?
Feed her in a high chair.
Level one.
Holding it.
Holding it. What else do you do?
Pulling the crib.
You have to care for the baby with all of your heart and love it.
He just did this one.
There we go. Very good. We have now officially been trained. Sounds like there's a lot of feeding to do. You gotta take care of. Oh, Isaac, you're being so good. God's word in our life. We have to take on this attitude of taking care. He's waving right now. We have to take on this attitude that I'm going to give up some things in order that I would watch over this life and help this life grow. And that is really such a powerful part of what the Christmas story is trying to say to us, that the Word of God became flesh and dwelt among us. And we've got to take care of the Word just like we take care of little Isaac, who has been wonderful. And now I'm not going to press my luck. I'm going to bring back to Mom. Thanks, Miss Jennifer and Andre. Can we say thank you to Mr. Isaac? Thanks, Jennifer. Yeah. All right. So, how about a few thoughts about how we do take care of this life right here? How do we take care of this life in us that is this gift and it's there? And it needs to be cared for. Well, not too brilliant here, but just kind of obvious. I think it's an all-day focus. And the scripture, and you read those scriptures, it's about meditating on the word all day. And at Cornerstone, we're all about the first 15, the idea of like, let's make sure the first thing we do is hear from God. But let's not just leave it at the first 15, because the scripture says it's what I meditate on all day long. And, you know, Mr. Isaac's great. I know Jennifer and Andre would never do this. But it's amazing how many of these pictures I found on the internet. Okay. Wow. Parents like duct tape. I mean, I'm just fascinated by that. Right? Now, hopefully, you know, none of us would do that. But I think some of us do that to the Word of God. We open it up in the morning, which is such a great start. It is a good start. But we don't want to then kind of duct tape it to the wall and move on with the rest of our day. Like, we want this Word to stay with us. And so what we want to do is start to think, we want to begin with that idea, that first 15. That's the first thing I do, spend time focusing on God and His Word, praying to Him. But then I want to make sure I'm meditating it on all day long. And so what we're planning to do as a church is in 2018, you just saw one of the videos, we're going to do the Bible Project. And the way the Bible Project works, and it's in your bulletin, and there are these brochures outside if you want to see them, is that we're going to lead the whole church family through reading through the Bible, but we're not just going to ask you to read it. There's actually videos like the one you just saw that actually explain to you what you're about to read. So before you read a passage, before you read Luke 1 and 2, you actually watch that video, and you actually understand what you're about to read. And so we're literally going to go through the entire Bible this year and come to make more room for Jesus. Now, by making more room for His Word. Now, for some of us, this will be the very first time we've ever committed to reading the Bible every single day. Now, I want to remind you that Jesus is the Word made flesh. Every single day to be in the Word is to be with Jesus. And so for you, the reading's going to include a psalm a day. We're going to read 2.5 times through the book of Psalms through this year. And if that's your beginning and you've never read before, then you should start with the psalm a day. You can do more if you want, but at least that. And you can use that as your first 15. A lot of us in this room, we're going to read the Bible in a year. And that's not just a psalm a day, but that's 3 chapters of the Bible, starting January 1. Next Sunday on New Year's Eve, I will preach off of Genesis 1 through 3 and get us off the ground with our Bible reading. but that's going to be yours. And it's going to be this idea. And what I want to suggest to you is instead of thinking in the morning I need to do all of it, you might go that way, but maybe this is learning to meditate it all day. And here's how you would do that. In the morning, start with your first 15. So start with the psalm. And just make it, psalm is the book of prayers and worship of the Bible. To do that is just to know, is easy way to pray to God in the morning. And as you do that, let that be your beginning. Then at your lunch break, if there's a video involved, watch it during lunch. And if you want, start on your reading. And then at night, after you kind of take care of the initial being home and things like that, but before you go into Zombieville, all right, why don't you finish reading and reflect a little bit? And literally what you could do is you could be meditating on the Word of God all day long. And it would just be, hopefully, I mean, wouldn't it be beautiful if that became your rhythm? So that's one of those ideas. I want to encourage you. A lot of us can do this. Now, some of you, you've got your morning in a way that you could do all that. That's great. But what I want to encourage you is, let's make sure we're not duct taping it to the wall and then moving on. Let's make sure we're bringing that idea of, what does the Word of God have to say to me in this part of the day? Now, number two, taking care of little Isaac is a lot of work, but it's not that complicated. It's just you gotta kind of get focused about doing certain things every day. And I love Deuteronomy chapter 6. As God is talking to his people, listen to how he talks about them knowing the Word of God. He says in these really practical everyday steps, he said, commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you're at home. Tie them to your hands as reminders. Write them on the doorposts of your house. It's all language about just keeping it simple and doing things that set you up for the Word of God. Building a life that centers around that and has reminders and ways that it's easy to remember the Word of God in your life. So a big part of what we want to do in the Bible Project is kind of set up our life that way. Now, I'm in the mid-40s, and so I'm using these things an awful lot these days, right? And it's amazing. I can't understand something when it's not in focus. It's not that it's not there. It's not that I couldn't read it. It's just that if there's no focus, I can't understand it. And some of us, it's not that the Bible is complicated. It's just that our life is out of focus. And so coming to the Word of God, it seems so complicated. It's like, no, it's actually not. If we'll bring our life back into focus about what's really important, what's the priority in our life? Like, if the Word of God is the one thing that if we take care of that thing, everything else gets taken care of, then let's focus on that. And when we focus on it, what's going to happen is we're going to begin to understand it more. Because in the end, God's Word gets simple when you simply focus. And so some of us are like, yeah, I can't understand it. So it's like, no, I don't think it's an issue of you understand it. I think it's an issue of focus in your life, so that you build some simple everyday things in your life. I mean, those videos are going to explain everything to you. You just got to kind of take your turn and focus up life to build it and to be and to hear from God every day. So what we're doing in the Bible Project is we're giving you things that kind of set your day up to focus on him and set up your life. Now, most of you have heard that, and it's in the bulletin there, there's an app to this reading plan called Read Scripture. And all you got to do is download it for free, and it literally shows you the scripture reading, and if there's a video connected to it, it's right there. All you got to do is hit play. You can put reminders on your phone. So that's a way to set up your life to focus on the Word. Also, we have Cornerstone's Bible Project Facebook page. And if you're not kind of using your smartphone or you're trying to get as far away from it as possible, but you still don't mind hitting Facebook, all the videos will be there to show you what to do, plus a few extras if you're really starting to track in the study. Next Sunday, I'm going to go over the points to ponder. There are a few simple questions you can ask about any chapter of the Bible that will help you hear from God. And we're going to go over that next week. Not going to be hard. And then I want to encourage you, if you're not done with your Christmas shopping yet, or if you need to add this, why not buy yourself a new Bible for Christmas? I mean, you spent a lot of money every place else, right? How about investing in the Word of God? If this is your first time really taking serious reading the Word of God, I would recommend the New Living Translation. That's the NLT, okay? And that is a nice, easy read and kind of talks about the Bible through story language. It's accurate enough, but it'll just be easy and a fresh read for you. Another thing, if you love, like, when you read, but you're the kind of person, like, what does that mean? What does that mean? Then what I recommend you get is an ESV study Bible. And it looks nice and big. It's like, oh, no, you know. Don't worry about it. It's got great notes. The reason why it's so big, it's got great notes on every verse of the Bible. And so when you're kind of curious about something, you can look it up. I very highly recommend it. Personally, I mean, I'm going to track my reading with my Bible app, but I'm going to do all my reading in my notes, my note-taking Bible. I love these guys. I don't know if anybody else has one of these. But these, you know, I'm meeting with Jesus, so I'm writing things down and circling, underlining, and putting prayer requests on the side, and writing out prayers I'm praying for people. And it's just, it kind of reminds me, it's kind of like your favorite love letters from that special someone. It's just, it's that reminder that God and I are having this relate, like he's active in what's going on in my life. He was faithful when I prayed for that. He's going to be faithful when this comes up. So I want to encourage you that really you could take some simple everyday steps to really focus your life, and the Bible's going to become more understandable than you've ever realized before, because you're going to be giving your heart and the Holy Spirit's going to be doing the rest. Now it finishes up. I just want to finish up with this thought that the reason we read the Bible is because there's a future hope. All right, when you take Isaac in your hands and you look at him, you're thinking, wow, tomorrow, like this life, what's this life going to grow and be like? What is this life? Who's this life going to be? What? There's a tomorrow out there, and what I do today really matters because this life depends on it. And sometimes we get in a religious idea about trying to make up good works with God. So we read the Bible as an idea of like, let me make up for the past. Wrong thought whatsoever. You should be doing this because you have a hope of the future, that you believe that there are greater days ahead and God wants to take you there. But to find it, you've got to stay with him. He's guiding you through it. And Psalm 119 says, I love your law. You are my refuge and my shield. I have put my hope in your word. Psalm 119, 105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. I love what God says to the Israelites in Deuteronomy 8. They're in the middle of their wilderness. They've escaped the old life, but they're not at the promised land yet. They're right in the middle, okay? And in the middle, God says, be careful to follow every command I am giving you today, so that you may live and increase and may enter and possess the land that the Lord promised. Observe the commands of the Lord your God, walking in his ways and revering him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land. I read this because I want to be with him, and I am convinced that God is bringing me into something more, and I want to find it. I believe that where I am and how I am is not the end of the story, that there is a promised land for me, and I want to get there. And even though I'm not where I've been, I'm still not where I need to be. And because of that, this word is this lamp. It's this guide. It's this sense of journey that I'm going on. And I wake up every day and I read it because this is going to show me how to get there. I was about 2 months ago, we had our mentor classic. There's Jerry and Jeff, and had this great time. And one of the guys, Russ Sprigg, took me on a hike. And it was this kind of idea of like, hey, this is going to be great. And it kind of had this promised land feel. Like there's this promise of like, it's going to be really cool when you get through the journey. When you get there, it's going to be great. And I just want to remind us that to get to the promised land, you've got to follow the promises, okay? So that's why this guy is so important, because the promises are true and they're faithful. So we get to Jefferson National Forest, and we get to this sign here, all right? So we're on the Belfast Trail, and he's telling me where we want to go is this Devil's Marble Yard. Well, as the pastor, the first thing I do is I rebuke the marble yard in the name of Jesus, so I'm all ready for it. And then we start, and you just see it's about a mile, but it is, even the hike before we get to the marble yard, it's uphill, okay? I want to tell you this. Every good thing you want to get to is uphill. none of it's downhill. Everything you want to do in life that's worth doing has an uphill habit to it. I'm telling you. And so here we are, we're going uphill. And so we're, you know, this, we got our packs, stuff, we're going up, and there's rocks, and it's kind of, you know, uneven here and there. It's not killer hard, but it's definitely, you're working. You're feeling your heartbeat go up, and you're getting there. And we finally, after a mile of walking, we finally get here. And it's all these giant blocks of marble that God just smashed one day. I don't know what he was doing. Like, they're in the middle, like you're walking through the forest and you get here. And you're like, what is that doing here? Like, did dump trucks put that there? It's like, no, it's always been there. All right? And there's my son Caleb on the far left. And then there's Josh and Jed. And we're there. And this marble yard, to climb it, it's actually a half a mile high. So you start, you're just going and going, and you're climbing, you're getting over stuff. And, you know, so this is the beginning of it. And we got to climb all over all this brokenness, right? And we got to get all the way to that point up top. But here's the thing. When we get to that point up top, we discover there's just a whole other thing after that, okay? It's like we're not even close to finished. So there's Russ and Dan, we're climbing up it. But something, I mean, it's getting hot out, and every once in a while, it's like, I think I'll die if I try to step there, and you're trying to figure it out. And something ends up happening about a half mile up, you start seeing this. Like, wow, that's really nice. And you go up a little higher, and you see this. And here's the thing. There was this promise of this place to see. There was this promise of seeing the world different. There was promise that there's a beauty that you don't see yet, but you can get to it. There was this promise, and in order to get there, you had to go uphill. There's nothing downhill about it. Every habit, every choice was about going up, is kind of fighting the gravity of the world around you. And after a long walk, then you had to climb all over all this broken stuff, and you had to overcome it, and you had to get over that broken thing and then climb over that broken thing and over this broken thing, and you kept getting over the broken things until at some point you realized, wow, is that what the world looks like? Is that there? I've never seen that before. And I'm telling you, here's what the Lord said to me. He said, Sean, if my people will decide to go uphill with me and climb over a bunch of broken stuff that's just there and it's not magically disappearing, you're just going to have to climb over it. I want to show you a world you haven't seen. And I want to show you what I do that you haven't noticed before. And I want to show you a beauty in the middle of what you're doing that's going to take your breath away. And what if you and I, for this next year, decided to go uphill a little bit? What would we see by the end of the year? Where would we be? And what revelation would come to us that we've never seen before, to the point that we'd be saying, wow, I didn't realize the world looked like this. I didn't realize life could be like this. It's this invitation to take this word that is a light and a guide, it's a lamp, and say, come on, uphill with me. Let's go uphill. But don't do it because you're trying to earn something. If you miss a day, don't go back and make it up. Just read today's, okay? Today is daily bread. You know, this is not some performance test of how much you can do. No, this is today, be with me and climb a little bit. Get the gift and go on the journey, because I've got stuff to show you that you have not seen yet. Greater days are ahead. You get to the promised land by following the promises. He will take care of his word. He'll take care of getting us every place else. That's his invitation. And I'm telling you, you and I mean, some of us were so anxious. I mean, let's be honest, some of us, we've looked at all our Christmas gifts already, even though we weren't supposed to, because we can't wait, all right? Well, this is a gift that there's a joy while you wait until you get to the spot you really need to be. What would your life be a year from now? Where would you be standing on? What brokenness would you have overcome? What beauty would you see a year from now if this year you say, the Word of God became flesh. And there are a bunch of people who missed it. I'm not going to miss the Word. I'm not going to miss it this year. That's my prayer. I think it takes a belief and a remembrance that God is faithful and He is good. And even though He's asking you to go uphill, it's for a very good purpose. So I think I don't want to end intellectually. I don't want to end with just things to do. I just want us to end in worship. I'm going to ask Pastor Brandon if he'd come. And I think if it's all right, we're just going to sing the song, Good, Good Father, and just remember that He's got something to show us. I hope this year coming up, you'll make room for Jesus to come and take you a place you've never, ever been before. And I think it just begins by saying in a fresh way, God, I want you. And so I'm just going to ask you to stand where you are. And we're just going to finish this time with the moment of worship.